Nature writer Barry Madden has also been giving some suggestions for passing the time in lockdown. He's been trying to learn more about our wildlife.
Wonder where we will be when you read this? As I write, we are still under full lockdown, and I'm watching large, fluffy clouds roll by in the stream of an easterly wind that brings a chilly edge to a May day. I'm sitting here occasionally looking at a Twitter feed from my mate in the northeast, who is organising a lockdown garden bird watch, which is gathering a lot of support. Liked and retweeted by Crisp Packham, no less. Well, as interesting and challenging as that will be, I can't help but think how much better it would be to actually be able to get out into the wider countryside and see all of those lovely spring migrants that usually appear on the annual checklist. Such frustration! It is, however, quite comforting to be able to keep in touch with wildlife sightings, news, family and friends, by the wonders of modern technology. Social media gets a lot of bad press, but in these days of social distancing, it helps to bring us all closer. Various groups have been set up whereby like-minded people can update one another on what they have seen on their daily walks or in their gardens. It helps greatly to feel part of a family, and I'm sure has become a crucial part of life for some. And speaking of gardens, it is calculated that the total area covered by private gardens is something like 660,000 acres across the country, an area larger than most nature reserves stitched together. It is a tremendous resource, and one we are now able to enjoy to the full. Following my own advice from last month's article to make my garden more wildlife friendly, I've built a rough and ready bee hotel. So far, I've not witnessed any solitary bees inspecting the crammed mass of bamboo canes, but I have seen many small bees around the garden, and so know they are present. Have a rummage, and you will see them too. Now, this itself has led to an interesting diversion of trying to identify the little blighters. I mean, who knew there are something like 270 species of bee in the UK, and only a small proportion are the familiar bumblebee types? We have mason bees, mining bees, blood bees, leafcutter bees, nomad bees, and even cuckoo bees that behave very much like their avian namesake. The female cuckoo bee will detect an active nest chamber of a host species and lay its own egg therein. The host will also lay an egg, but this or the emergent grub is doomed to be eaten by the cuckoo bee larvae. The more you delve into these things, the more fascinating it becomes. And I'm only doing this because my naturalistic wanderings are now confined to a very small area. It will be very interesting to see how our local records made during this period will enhance, nay, fundamentally change, the perceived abundance and distribution of species. People are noticing things, possibly for the first time in their lives. Another potentially exciting aspect of much decreased human activity is the way in which animals seem to be changing their behaviour. You've probably read reports of deer sightings within suburbia, but it spreads wider than that. For instance, breeding birds such as waders and terns will benefit from much less disturbance on our beaches and marshland, and it may well be that other species have a bumper breeding season without constant disturbance by man and dogs. Decreased road traffic may result in fewer animal deaths, but should creatures get too used to quieter roads, that could rebound disastrously once things return to normal. However, The most amazing instance I've come across of adaptations in wild creatures is of a trio of Andean condors that now regularly visit the balcony of a high-rise apartment at a town in Chile. Empty streets mean no discarded rubbish and scraps that normally provide these huge birds with a living. The apartment owner puts food out on her balcony, and hey presto, three of the world's most impressive birds feasting within touching distance. They do seem to look like the look of her poodles, but I'm sure that's just coincidence. Inevitably, though, this current lockdown will bring many hardships, and sadly, one such is our local wildlife trusts. But the good news is that you can use the current situation and your imagination to help by taking part in the 2.6 Wildlife Challenge. Essentially, you have to think of a task you can perform that revolves around the number 2.6 or 26, the significance of this number linked to the mileage of the Virgin Money London Marathon, which, of course, was cancelled. You raise money while performing your chosen task. Full details can be found on the website of your local wildlife trust. It's a great way to engage yourselves or family in a positive activity to help our wildlife.